Go ahead, wear some rad gear in public. We dare you. Endless swag is available in the stupid store at radradio.com.
Got to have a couple emails, RAD at radradio.com. They continue to roll in requesting, as Little Charlie brought this up.
He's not little.
Little.
He's from Black Dog Graphics. He runs the stupid store.
Superstore.
At radradio.com. And he suggested in an email, kind of a stream of consciousness thinking out loud sort of thing, a Fat Rob plushie. While in the same email, he was lamenting the fact that I'm no longer heading towards fatness and I've plateaued on appetite and my weight's plateaued, etc. And I said, okay. And sure enough, emails continue to come in. Yes, we want the Fat Rob plushie. Daniel says, if you make them and they are under $20. All right. Price point, Charlie?
$19.99.
I will buy one and I will use it as a voodoo doll when Rob says something and it triggers a reaction. I can take it out on the Fat Rob plushie.
Oh, really? God.
Yes. That's a great idea. Throw that thing against the wall. Watch it bounce right back in your face and hurt you.
It's not creepy at all.
Well, I think works there'll be me. Needles involved, right?
It's okay. I don't believe in any of that crap.
Me neither. Not that.
Totally unrelated. George wrote in this email on the heels of Cody and his brilliant research product, or project rather, on why it's asinine to claim that country music is founded in African American culture. George says, Cody, for me, is an example of a barracks or jailhouse lawyer. You find the answer that you are looking for, and then you put the book down or close the laptop, never to look at it again, and let alone the following page of the article you're looking for. Right. You, Rob, using common sense and knowledge, proved once again that being open to information and research fully allows us to see the whole picture. Thank you for showing us how to do this time and time again. Cody has been lawyered. Oof. All right. That's tough. entertainment news. Couple of notes today. The big one, The Fall Guy, comes out. This is loosely based on the 1980s TV series that starred Lee Majors as a stuntman who moonlights as a bounty hunter. It was a dramedy, if you will. By the way, Lee Majors himself, who is also the $6 million man, for those of us 50 years and older, rather, he has a cameo in the movie's post-credit scene. He just celebrated his 85th birthday.
Damn, what?
He looks amazing.
Oh, I can't believe he's 85, though.
Again,
damn.
You have to take into a context, he's 85. He looks like such an 85-year-old stud.
They invested all that money into improvements on him, so of course he's going to look good.
And yes, remember, kids, this is the 70s. That's why it was the $6 million man. Inflation now, he would have to be the $6 billion man.
Yes.
Ryan Gosling plays the Hollywood stuntman, and this has nothing to do with the Fall Guy series. I mean, it's like, again, this it's not based on an episode of the series at all. They're just kind of using the premise. He's a Hollywood stuntman. That's the end of the similarities. He flies to Australia to work on a movie directed by his ex-girlfriend, played by Emily Blunt. When he gets there, he finds out the producer lied. Yes.
What? A Hollywood producer?
And the star has gone missing, and they actually want him to track him down. Because remember, he's also a bounty hunter.
Right.
So.
He's lost in Australia with all the snakes and spiders and kangaroos.
Deal with all of that. The initial buzz on it is fantastic. You know, I don't know how much of that is the Ryan Gosling hangover we all have from Barbie and everything else he's doing. But they say that the energy between he and Emily Blunt's really good, so whatever.
Yay. The trailer looks really good.
Yeah. It does. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, the other big thing that comes out today is Seinfeld's Netflix movie, Unfrosted.
Oh, my God. When I sat down to my office desk to eat my breakfast, I look at my Netflix, because usually, you know, Fridays, things pop up, and I went, oh, my God! And I went to turn it on, and I immediately turned it off, because I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is something my husband and I would want to watch together. Damn, I gotta wait.
So, as I said, when I saw the trailer a week ago or so, the extended trailer, and then watching, because Seinfeld's been everywhere, he's been going on all these interviews, et cetera, from the beginning, I've said, look, this is going to be one of two things. And I don't know which one. Either you're going to be able to separate yourself and go, okay, this is so over the top. Because the trailer is so over the top, stupid, silly. It's absurd. I use the example, Seinfeld and Melissa McCarthy are running away from an exploding building at one point. First of all, Melissa McCarthy running, come on.
Oh,
it's clearly a satire.
Oh,
and it's so, an 8-year-old carjacks an 18-wheeler, all right, a truck jack. Obviously campy, over the top. And as I said, Seinfeld is playing Seinfeld. It's the same character that he played in the sitcom. It's himself. You're either going to like that and appreciate it, or you're not. And I think there's going to be a generational factor. And I'm not saying everybody over 40 is going to fall in love with it, because Seinfeld's big again with the people in their 20s, like Friends is and things like that. But it is also very popular that a lot of people in those generations or those genres are going to be like, too much, Jerry. You went too far. I've always said, don't rely on critics. Critics don't know that, but sometimes they do get it right. The initial buzz on Seinfeld's movie is horrible.
Oh, no!
What?
A few headlines from various Google searches. Seinfeld's Netflix Pop-Tart movie, Unfrosted, embarrasses everyone.
I hope what? Not.
IndieWire says Seinfeld's painfully stale Pop-Tarts comedy never heats up. The Wrap says Unfrosted Seinfeld's Netflix comedy is a bust. The Daily Beast says Jerry Seinfeld's Pop-Tarts movie is a letdown. Richard Roper, formerly of Roper and Ebert, this is the grandson, I believe, says Jerry Seinfeld's Unfrosted is one of the decade's worst movies. If you can find a positive thing, it might be this headline from the Arizona Republic Reviewer: Jerry Seinfeld's Pop-Tart movie is stupid funny. That's what I would guess from 2.5 minutes. If I walk away from this going, I loved it, it's going to be because it's stupid funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. TheFilm.com says Jerry Seinfeld's Pop-Tart movie is very, very silly. You can't overdo silly, and that's maybe the problem. And who knows? We'll all find out this weekend.
So I, in general, I never really pay attention to the critics. However, the last movie that they were like definitely for me anyway spot on was, remember the one at Christmas? Heather Graham, The Best Christmas Ever, whatever the hell that was. And I mean, it got lambasted as it should have. Mm-hmm. Like, they were completely right. But there's been times they're wrong, and I hope this is one of them.
Well, the cool thing with Netflix is that they will be very transparent, because obviously this thing will blow the doors off the water in terms of views. But Netflix is very transparent. It takes a couple weeks to how long people stayed with it.
Oh,
it ain't about tuning in.
Oh, gosh, that's
it's about
right.
How long did they last, because – remember, the more shocking thing, too, about, and I think we figured it out, the best Christmas ever, was that people stuck with it, and I think it was the same reason that Dawn almost finished it. You keep thinking, it's got to get better. Right. This has to explain itself.
Right, this can't be this bad.
And then Kyle and I actually went all the way through the end, like, good Lord.
It was god-awful.
So bad, right? And I think what I'm trying to remember, I think after hearing from you guys, I just went to the end to see the ending.
Speaking of sitting through movies, this is a little bit of a sidetrack, but related. Rob, you mentioned the Mel Gibson movie On the Line.
Oh, yes.
It's on Netflix. And so I tried to watch it.
Where he's a radio host, and the movie is asininely stupid unless you get to the very, very, very end.
Yes. I don't know if it was just in a mood or if it was just because I was just looking, watching the industry that I work in be portrayed in such a campy and stupid way that I just couldn't stomach 15 minutes.
Well,
and I was like, you know what? I believe in Rob. I believe that everything he said, if you just stick through it, it'll be worth it at the end. But I couldn't do it. I was this close to just Googling the end of On the Line just so I could know what the whole thing was about.
Yeah.
And I still will. I have Google up right here. I'm about to type On the Line ending.
Just to touch that particular thing, because my wife called me out on that early on in the movie, and I had to take that part of my brain and turn it off. The way they portray how radio works, first of all, has nothing to do with plot and is never explained, and it is ridiculous. But look, that's been true since, go back to WKRP in Cincinnati. What was that Phil Hartman show for a while, News Radio?
Oh my gosh,
I have never seen radio portrayed realistically. They do that in this movie. I was making all sorts of comments where you're like, that's not realistic. They can't do that. No, wireless mics don't work like that.
The phone screener's in the same studio with him. She's got a phone on her ear with a headphone back.
I know.
I'm throwing my equipment around.
So you're never going to be satisfied with that part of it, ever.
Yes. Do you know maybe the closest anyone has gotten is Frasier with this talk show. That is maybe the closest, because at least Roz was in a separate room. Right? And the radio building was a bit dysfunctional.
Radio tantrum aside about all of that, the acting, the everything about On the Line was absolutely terrible.
That's true.
Just couldn't sit through it.
That is true. That never improves.
Yeah, so I'm hopeful that Unfrosted isn't that way.
Wait, even Mel Gibson is terrible?
I liked Mel's performance because in the end I realized what he was doing. Because, again, back to Brandon's point, throughout part of it as Mel Gibson is a radio host, he keeps grabbing the microphone with his hand.
What are you doing?
You're covering up the ability.
It's like the old school microphone. It's going to shock you.
Yeah, I know what he's doing in the end, so I was able to get past it. What? I don't know. Look, it's just, if you're going to enjoy it, you got to get all the way to the end. That's the real challenge there.
So I am going to watch Unfrosted, but I am tainted by the reviews that you just read, but I'm guessing that it got terrible reviews because Jim Gaffigan and Amy Schumer are in there, and I'm blaming both of them on ruining it. I think Jerry Seinfeld should have lined himself up with some better comedians.
See, and I like Gaffigan. Schumer,
really?
Schumer can go
Gaffigan,
die.
Gaffigan, I like. He does make me laugh.
He's boring.
And Bill Burr's playing the president.
JFK.
Whoa.
Yeah. All right, we got to get to the pressure cooker right now. We got a free 1 month membership to Rad TV and members.radradio.com. You'll be qualified for the grand prize drawing today to win one of two pair of premium tickets to see Pete Davidson live Friday night, May 10th, a week from today at Hard Rock in Sacramento. Those tickets are sixth row center stage. The pressure cooker is our daily trivia game that we play every single day, although we don't get a winner every single day.
We sure don't.
It's trivia. You either know it or you don't.
You don't.
Five right, 30 seconds. None of that matters unless you're caller 18 right now.
You can do it.
By the way, if you've watched Unfrosted since it's been up since midnight, we'd love to hear from you. What did you think? Phone number is 888-989-9811. Caller 18 plays the pressure cooker.
Rob. Anybody. And Dawn. The Rob. Anybody. And Dawn Show.